wrong.
Before the stars can be paid, there gotta be a dope ass story on the page. Let the beast about the cage, that light about the dark. Can you build the inferno from an itty bitty spark? Coffee shop hustlers rise with the cream. A million other writers, same Hollywood dream. Your pen and paper, all like bullets in the gun. Write what you feel, say what you want. In the red room, we say what we say, we do what we feel. We gotta keep it real.
In the red room,
all about the crap of screenwriting. I fill my bottle up with lightning. Up in the red room.
So look, if you guys are grown, let's go ahead and get in. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Hilliard Guest, and you guys are listening to the Screenwriters Rant Room. We keep it real, we keep it opinionated, we keep it what, everybody? 2016.
All right.
You know how it goes, Bridget. Don't be acting like you don't know. on this show, we discuss entertainment, TV, film, music, culture, but our focus is always screenwriting, stories, craft, and shit like that. So y'all hear her voice, my girl, Lisa Bolakaja, over there. What's
hey.
Up, girl?
Hey, I'm excited because finally... I'll have the time now to catch up on the shows I've been missing. Roots.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The remake of Roots.
So yeah, I've been
hearing
a lot about that.
So I'll probably check that out. Mm-hmm. I will finally drag myself, even though it's been a couple of weeks, because I'm not a real big fan, but I want to go see it anyway, the X-Men movie. So
yeah,
we shall see.
You know what I'm going to go see that I thought I would never want to see? That new... Dwayne Johnson and what's his name?
Kevin Hart
movie. We saw it somewhere. We were watching this preview, and I was like, it looks like a let's just go have a good time movie to me.
It does.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just silly, you know, whatever. And I was like, I'm going to go see it probably.
There's a chemistry between them there.
Yeah,
they did two movies together.
And then what else did they do?
There's another movie that they're both together in it. And it's kind of back to back. I don't remember what the other movie was, but I feel like they're in another movie together.
So it must have been like earlier in the day.
Maybe, or maybe it's just, I'm just seeing Kevin Hart everywhere.
He is everywhere.
There is that.
The ubiquitous Kevin Hart. That. So that could be that it too. But you know, something about Dwayne Johnson, he's like so likable.
Mm-hmm.
And they just cast him another big role, too. I'm almost afraid that they're trying to cast him in too many things and doesn't really give him a chance to be like an actor. He's more like that action hero. So I really hope that he branches out and does. I just want to see him do a dark thriller. Mm-hmm. Just.
Was like even that. What's that movie he did with the earthquake thing?
That was so cute.
It was good. But even that.
It was so cute.
Even that. I liked it a lot.
San Andreas?
It was so
adorable.
Even that, they still, like, he still got on, like, a tight-fitting shirt.
He's supposed to. No matter what he does.
That's in his contract. That's supposed to be. If he ain't
showing no biceps, I ain't coming to see the movie. I'm sorry.
No matter what he does, he's The Rock.
That's
who people come out to see.
Yes.
True that.
But I would love to see him. I mean, I really enjoy his work on the HBO series. HBO?
Mm-hmm.
I want to see the HBO series that he does as the football agent.
Mm-hmm.
He's really good in that. And I really want to see him do like a psychological thriller or something, you know, a little bit different to branch out. You know, he's doing a lot of funny, big action stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to kind of see like a psychological thriller because I really love Dwayne Johnson. So
yeah, he's very likable.
Yes.
And he's lasted this long. Mm-hmm. Who would have thought he's going from the Scorpion King or whatever it was?
Look, if Arnold Schwarzenegger can do it, why can't The Rock?
Good point. And he's a way better actor.
And he's... Say that one more again.
Sorry.
All right.
Okay. Anyway, y'all know how we do it on a Rant Room. So if you guys are grown, let's go ahead and get it in.
Yes.
All right. Today, we got our little sis on the show. Our favorite little cousin over here. OBS twin. Miss Bridget Lawrence, you guys. Writer, director, producer of the new hit series, The Value of X. On a web series. So you guys are going into season 2?
We are going into season
2. Oh, good. Yay. Okay.
Yes. We're kicking and screaming, but we're going. Kicking and screaming.
But we're going to get it in. We're going to get it in.
Kicking and screaming.
No, we're going to tell the kids.
Yes.
You know, you guys want to make it.
No, this is important because we were talking beforehand about it and just, you know, just kind of chop it up a little bit before we started taping and just the issues when you're filming stuff. And trust me, I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's good that we have different perspectives on what it's like to get product out and content, and sometimes shit happens.
You can't always just be successful. You know, the first season may be successful. Well, let's talk about how hard it is setting up season two.
Amen. You know what I'm saying? Preach. You better work. Preach.
Season two.
Talk about that.
Okay. If the networks ain't picked you up and you still trying to do it yourself.
Absolutely.
Let's get into season two. How difficult is this shit?
Right.
So first of all, let's just go ahead and tell the kids just a little bit, just so they know who you are, what you're dealing with.
Absolutely.
And then let's spend time talking about process.
All right. Well, should I? You already introduced me. So my name's Bridget, and I'm the creator of The Value of X. It's about four women, four friends, college friends who are dealing with issues with their exes. Mm. Men from their past all seem to find their way back, as men tend to do. And now the women...
Sounds personal.
I felt that.
A little bit. Maybe. Maybe. So basically the show explores their journey to finding, you know, what is the value of these men? Should they give these men another chance, or, you know, close the door completely and just move on with their lives?
Mm-hmm.
So of course, along that journey, there's a lot of, issues that come up, and just comedy that ensues, especially in season two. We're really going to get into it, especially with all of the 4X couples, and it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm really excited about it. But it's hard. It's not for the faint of heart at all. So, yeah, I mean, that's it in a nutshell.
Mm. Okay, so let me just find out a little bit about... So how did season one do for you guys?
Oh, season one was actually really great.
Mm-hmm.
We shot season one in 2013.
How many episodes were there?
Six.
Okay.
Six episodes. And
how long?
They were all roughly between 5 and 10 minutes.
Okay.
For season two, of course, we're trying to outdo ourselves and be bigger and better. So these episodes are going to be a bit longer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're looking at maybe 15 to 20 minutes.
Ooh, wow.
So,
okay.
So,
you're trying to make...
real
serious.
Season two is a feature. Like, I looked at the script today and I was like, I'm really about to shoot a feature. Like, okay, let's make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, when we released season one on YouTube, it was really great. We the first festival we were in was the American Black Film Festival.
Mm-hmm. Good one.
In 2014, so that was awesome. And then from that,
did you go?
I did, because of course I went. That's my
home. Well, some people don't be going, so you know.
So. That's my hometown.
That's
so
right,
I was like,
that's right,
they
right.
2014, they actually had it in New York.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh no, I got to go home for that. You know, so that was great. I met so many people, and just, you know, it was a wonderful, awesome experience, and I was really excited about that. And then on the heels of that, we were accepted into the Raindance Film Festival in London, which I was super excited about. And I made sure I got there too. I was like, you know what?
Nice.
It's London.
It's London.
I am going.
We're going.
And then after that, I came back to LA, and then we were in the Hollywood Festival here in Los Angeles. So a lot of festival exposure. And then one day I got an email from a very lovely young woman named Deshauna Spencer, who is the founder of a new streaming service called Quailee TV.
Okay.
And she wanted to put The Value of X on her streaming service.
Okay.
And so we are currently now also on Quailee TV as well.
Okay.
So yeah, a lot of really great things have been coming out of the show, and I'm super excited to have more great things come as a result of season two.
Mm-hmm.
So
nice.
Yeah.
So let's talk about process, because this is going to be some interesting shit. Now, let me just preface this. So we didn't really go into a bunch of backstory on, you know, where you're from and all that stuff like that.
Brooklyn.
That's New all York.
I go, you don't hear that accent?
She's like, that's all you need to know.
I go, you don't hear that
Brooklyn,
accent?
Son. it comes and goes.
You got to punt the fist at the same time, don't you?
I'm from Brooklyn, son.
No, it came out one time when OBS went to New York to go teach a class and stuff like, and you were out there with us right in the subway, and the New York came out for real.
Really?
Like, yes.
What did I do?
She was like, to all the people, we were on the subway. Of course, me being Southern Cali relaxed stuff. And she was just like, look, I was like, oh, wow, she really
she
is.
Hardcore.
Yeah.
She is up here, like, letting people look at I'm like, okay, she's
popping
so
off.
Rough to that child.
Oh, those are the worst.
You gotta. And she was like, no, what? And I'm looking, I'm like, oh, you right.
She's like, in Brooklyn, kids will kill you, Jay.
Right. Don't sleep on that 6-year-old.
Okay.
Not in them streets. No.
It's like, let me just go get my cheesecake and mind my business.
But so I want to talk to you about process.
Absolutely.
I want to talk about first, like, how you came up with the idea to do the show, working your way up to get to production, and then how hard it is trying to do season two.
Yeah, because
a lot of people don't. You don't ever see people talk about season two. They always talk about, you got to get your own web series. Here's how to make your web series. But motherfucker, what happens after you?
Yeah,
right.
And, and the extra thing, too, is that there's so much content out there now. Mm-hmm. Like, what made you, when you decided to make this project, what made you think that this is going to stand out from the hundreds of thousands of things that are out there already? Mm-hmm. What made you think that, like, this particular show, this particular topic, is the one that people are going to stop and watch?
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, I think... For me, I think the concept of dealing with issues from your past is very, very relatable. Like, everyone has exes.
Sure.
Everyone has, you know, an ex that they, for some reason, can't get rid of or can't get over. I know I had one, and that person was the inspiration for the show. And so, in looking at the landscape of television at the time, I missed good old fashioned, like, girlfriend type shows. Mm-hmm. Like, growing up, I loved watching Living Single and Girlfriends and shows like Sex in the City that, you know, was like huge hit. And I said, well, you know, I have a relatable topic, you know, trying to get over exes, trying to move on. Mm-hmm. And then you couple that with this sort of like girlfriend friendship show, which I think a lot of people are into and love. And I was like, yeah, I could do that. and the script actually started out as a pilot, which if I could just plug it, you know, the Value of X, the half hour pilot, won the OBS original script competition.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that gave me a big sort of wind of encouragement. And I said, okay, well, you know, people obviously like the concept, like the show. And then I started going, you know, on a couple of meetings and trying to see, well, can I get someone interested in this as a pilot? And you know how Hollywood is. You know, you have a script and it doesn't gain the traction that you think it's going to gain. And so after a while, I said, you know what? I really, you know, I have this show that I think is great. And, you know, I don't have a big name yet, and I don't have big stars attached, so I'm not necessarily getting the attention of, you know, Shonda Rhimes or whoever. So you know what? I said to myself, I don't want to just let this be a script that just sits on my computer and doesn't go anywhere and just dies. So that's when, that was around the time when a lot of web series were starting to pop up and becoming popular, and you guys also know our... Michael Ejakwe was very, very inspirational to me at that time as well. And he was doing web series and starting to do his web series festival. And that really gave me some encouragement. I said, you know what? Maybe I can just do this myself. And that was when I decided to take my little pilot and attempt to shoot it myself. And at the time, you know, the Lord had blessed me with a little change. I had a little money in the bank.
She goes, I had spent it on.
You know, so I said, you know what? I have some funds. Let me see if I can just do this on my own. And so at the time when I started, I only intended to shoot a couple of episodes. Just to kind of maybe get a buzz about it and then do some crowdfunding to shoot the rest. And so you shoot a little bit and then you get excited. You're like, oh my gosh, this looks great. If I could just shoot a little bit more. You know, you guys know our friend, our another OBS friend, Karen. She calls it production crack. And it sure sure is.
Yeah, it's addictive.
Sure.
Yeah,
is because crack.
Love it.
Yeah, I'm addicted. I'm a crackhead. Yes, I am. Not literally, people. Let's be clear. But production crack, I'm on it hard. So you know, we shot, you know, the first couple episodes, and I looked at the footage and I said, you know, this is really great, but I felt like I wasn't giving enough of the story to sell it. And so at that point, I said, well, I still got a little money left. I wasn't completely broke yet. So I said, well, maybe I can go back and shoot some more. So we did our initial production in like May and June. And then we submitted to the New York Television Festival what the pilot for the web series, which is like, you know, two of the first episodes combined. Didn't get in. I'm still getting over that.
Wait. Did you get a little pop?
Did she just pop?
Yes.
That was a little Brooklyn. That came out. I'm
feeling a little salty right now because I knew it was in there.
You know, but you know what? you can't, you know, it's,
you can't win them all.
You can't win them all. And that was a learning experience for me, but it inspired me to want to go back and shoot more, because I was like, okay, they just didn't get it. They didn't get the concept. But if I shoot some more, they'll understand, right? Mm-hmm. So then we came back in October and we shot some more. And then that became the 6 episodes that we have that constitute season 1.
I have a question for you. When you went back and added more, did you see moments in the first 2 or 3 or 4 episodes that you'd already shot where you thought you needed to add a moment or subtract a moment or et cetera? Or go back and reshoot or anything? Or
we didn't have the budget to go back and reshoot. Okay. So we basically, you know, what we had from the first, you know, few days of shooting, we kept that as as it was, and we just basically built upon the story. Because remember I said it was a pilot first. Mm-hmm. So essentially,
I read it, I remember.
We shot the first, you know, maybe 10 to 15 pages of that pilot. Mm-hmm. And then I said, well, there's so much more of this story, and I really would love to be able to, you know, get the whole story out and, to, you know, tell the complete picture. So then I just wanted to finish up what was started. So that's kind of what I did when we went back. Were there things that I looked back on and was like, I wish I could have done it better? Absolutely.
You're going to always do that.
Yeah. I'm like, ooh, if I could do it again. But, you know, at this point, you know, it's what's done is done. So I just had to move on, which is easy to do in production, a little less easy to do in relationships. Hence the show. So yeah, we went back in October and we shot some more stuff. And then Karen, who's awesome and amazing, she was the editor. So she, you know, put it all together for me, did the editing, and had a wonderful music
score. Whatever.
Score, composer, music. That's the word, composer. Let me use my NYU education. His name is Matthew Head. He's out of Atlanta, Georgia. Shout out to him. Whoop, whoop. And he created this amazing score for me. And then we, you know, got everything together and put the show out the following year in 2014. So I feel like I might have rambled a little bit. I don't remember what the original question was.
It's okay, but we're just trying to. I just want the kids to hear the process of how to make, you know, your web series, so that when we talk about season 2, they understand all the things you went through.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, so process, like, you know, just gathering the crew, because this was my first web series, and I really hadn't done a lot of production stuff of my own personal since, you know, back in the day in college. It was very important to me to bring people on board who knew more than me. And so I turned to Karen a lot, because she had, at that point, she had Breaking Point, all these different shows that she had done. And so her DP, who I liked a lot, named Adam Scherer, I said, Karen, you think I can get Adam to DP my project? And so we got him on board. And Karen, for season 1, Karen was on board as a co-producer as well. So she was very, very helpful. Mm-hmm. But even with surrounding yourself with a team of people who are more experienced, stuff always comes up. I mean, literally, I think the night before we were shooting, we didn't have a makeup artist.
Oh, my God.
And so literally the night before, I remember we were sitting in my apartment and we were going through like Craigslist ads. We were calling people. We called up Mike. We were like, Mike, do you know anybody that might come out and do makeup for us? It's tomorrow morning, like 7 o'clock. Can they be there? Like, so, you know, is what I've learned is that it's usually always crazy right before. And then it somehow,
it just all comes together.
It comes together. It does. It does. Mm. So, you know, like I said, it's not for the faint of heart, but it's for people who believe in themselves, believe in their project, and have the faith to know that it may look crazy right now, but it's going to come together.
Mm-hmm. It's funny. I had one of those moments on Thursday night. We had a production meeting for the documentary, and we're interviewing all these big celebrities who are difficult to get, you know, time, and we're trying to push a lot of them in one day, so they all come at, he's 1 hour, he's the next hour. He's, you know, they come a half hour early, so they go to makeup, whatever, you know?
Absolutely, yep.
Oh, my God. It's just been just to arrange that, well, you sure? I can't come at 2, but what if I came at 4? It's like, motherfucker, we done it 4. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. No, bitch, come at 2. You know what I mean? So it was like trying to work out all this, but I just remember at like 6 o'clock, I got a phone call from one of the people we're interviewing, and we were on the phone. I was talking to him, and I was like, look, dude, I really need you. I know you're busy. I know you're important. You know what I mean? But you will shine in this movie. I guarantee you. I will do Bible. I had to like overpump what I would do just to get him to be interviewed, you know, at the time I wanted him. And he was like, okay, yeah, all right, I'll make it work, blah, blah, blah. So I remember hanging up the phone going, like taking a breath, right, going, okay, all that work I've been doing for the last week, you know, I'm going to have other people doing these things, but when it comes down to arranging everything, me and the AD, and I have to, mm-hmm, now I got to put it together and schedule it, and, but you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So it's been like all the details of all that, it's just been, yeah.
That's the part that's not fun. That sounds, yes, like we did a promo shoot in January. Same thing. We, mm-hmm, needed all of the actors to come, and we were trying to schedule it certain times and, mm-hmm, and work with the script and coordinate. Okay, if we shoot this part first while we're shooting this, then they can be in makeup, and then the other person can be in wardrobe. Too, right? Yes.
Yeah,
I'm every woman. Support. There was one day when I had to do makeup.
Why?
the makeup artist had to leave early, and so I, in between takes, I was like, I pulled out the little foundation, I was patting her, wow, I was like, I got it. I'm my own art director most times, mm-hmm, except for this season, which I'm very excited about. There's a lovely young woman named Portia Richards. Mm-hmm. Shout out to her. She's come on board. She's been phenomenal.
Good.
Helping me. She's helping me produce, as well as doing wardrobe and art direction, set decorating and all that. Like,
good.
It's the thing about independent production is that when you don't have a budget to hire people, mm-hmm, you have to become all of those people because those people are still, yeah, needed.
Exactly. Yeah.
And everybody, yeah, in your crew has four or five jobs.
Right. Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. So, you know, it's like you wear multiple hats, mm-hmm, all at the same time. Mm. And you know, it's funny. Sometimes I feel so divided, like, okay, I know I need to be doing this, but I also need to be doing this, 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 and that over there, mm-hmm, and that other thing too. And so sometimes I just want to scream sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes.
100%.
I mean, but like I said, at the end of the day, it usually all you.
Let me give you some together. Game right quick.
All right. Oh, yes. Spit that game.
Heel this is for all you young filmmakers out there. When you are in production right now, you're in pre, right? You're about to be in production, then you'll be in post.
Absolutely.
While you're in pre-production on anything in LA, and now we're in summertime pretty much. Most people are out of school, about to be out of school, whatever. You know how many kids you can get who can be PAs and, you know, who know how to do the clapboard and know how to do slate. They know how to do script soup. Mm. Who are in school, who you're not reaching out to get you, to help you, if you feed them and give them credit.
Yes.
You know what
food
I mean?
Food is important.
We don't, but sometimes we don't want to take the time, mm-hmm, because it takes time to go searching for them.
Yeah.
But you got to put the word out there. You go on stage 32 and put the message out there. You know, they got different, what do they call them?
32.
Pages.
Hold on. Let me take some notes while you talk.
Have you never went to stage 32, girl?
No.
Stage 32. All right. This is some game.
Talking to me now. Hold on.
We're
going to
have him on. We're going to have him on the show. I'm just working it out with him. Stage 32 is basically the Craigslist for film.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
You can get all your, you can crew up your entire crew on stage 32.
Mm, okay.
All you do is post what you need and boom, you start getting all kind of hits from people.
Okay.
But you need to go on and set up your account and it's free. So okay. Yeah. I'm knocking over again.
Yeah, I definitely do the Craigslist thing. Found a bunch of great people on Craigslist.
Yeah, I mean, people are on Craigslist too, but this is the Craigslist just for this in particular. Instead of going on Craigslist trying to find film, blah, 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 you know what I mean?
Right.
This is like just for that.
Absolutely.
So
okay.
you could find your DP, your lighting, your sound. You can do everybody's on there. Anyway, so where I'm going with this is, what I'm hearing is you have to do everything. And you shouldn't
and
have
more.
To do everything. You're in season two.
Yes.
You're in season two. People have seen your work. Now somebody should be saying, hey, girl, can I help you? Or you should be saying, hey, I'm going into season two. If you help me out with this, I'll give you this.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like you said, you brought in another girl who's going to help you with art department or something. You're giving her a producer credit too. You know, mm-hmm, what I mean? Give
Absolutely.
Them something back.
Absolutely.
That they need too.
Absolutely.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that you can get the things that you need.
Absolutely. Bartering is key in independent production.
Correct. Mm. But Absolutely. What happens is most of the time when people are making these little films or, you know, web series, they're trying to keep the crew so small because they don't have a budget for a bunch of food. I would rather spend more money on some more food and have a couple more people.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? But I'm just telling you, this is something that, so people, mm-hmm, whenever I'm doing something, I have like 30 people on the set, people are like, you have like 30, 40 people on your set. I'm like, because I needed people to – I want to make sure that my camera guys don't have to be the only ones dragging shit in. I want them to have help. I want this person to have – I want my director to have an assistant. I want them to feel like they're working on a real movie.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So there are things you can do to make that happen. If there's a cafe you go to all the time and you know the manager, say, dude, can you give me a dozen donuts? You know what I mean? There's things you can do
Absolutely.
To get things, but people don't go out of their way to find out how can I get those resources. Instead, they just go, well, we only have $200.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, $200 can go a long way if you're smart about it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
And so, just like the makeup schools and stuff.
That's what I'm saying. All
sure those. You just, a lot of times you're like, oh, hi. If you don't have any money,
yeah.
makeup, there's always makeup school students who want that production credit
yeah.
and practice their stuff, and you can get them for free.
Yeah.
And they're happy. I'm doing a movie? Yes. Yeah. It goes on their resume.
This is what they're studying
this
for.
This is what they're studying for.
You get somebody who's already like about, you know, they're in their, you know, their last year or whatever, mm-hmm. not just somebody who just started.
Right.
You know what I mean? But they people
right.
do.
Because that would be dreadful.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't think blue eyeshadow goes on.
Suspect,
good
right?
on black people.
right.
Have you worked with black people before?
Right.
Exactly. Anyway, so all I'm saying is, you know, just try to use your resources more than you think. Here's another thing. So you're waiting for a location, right?
Mm, absolutely.
Don't just wait for that person to call you back and say, yes, it's okay to get the location. So when they do finally call you back, you email them back and say, here's what we talked about. And bullet point. You agreed to... Because you don't want any kind of miss. I've done things in the past, probably 10 years ago, that I've learned now that you. I'm working with a director who has a friend who owns a cafe. And I'm like, can I get on? I'm producing. I'm like, can I get on the phone and go see the place and talk? No. They're busy and whatever. And we show up and they're like, oh, you guys only have that corner because we're still. And I'm like, I got logistics
right.
things to work out here.
Right, absolutely.
You know, I need to know where base camp is. Where am I putting makeup? Where am I doing, you know what I mean? How far is the bathroom from here? How far is it, you know what I mean? There's things to look for
right. Right.
that you're not looking for. You're looking at the set. You're looking at how can I shoot this thing?
Right.
I'm looking at the rest of
the
us.
The whole picture.
You know
absolutely.
What I mean? How many people can fit in this room? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's all these other things. So where I was going with that was... So now I send them an email immediately saying, here's what we discussed. And I bullet point. A, you said that we would get this place for free. B, no.
That's important. Make
if you
sure
don't
they know.
Fucking tell them, if you don't fucking tell them and remind them what we agreed on, then they don't
trail.
Remember.
I have
and ask
story.
Them for a confirmation yeah. email. You know, bullet point everything and say, just a reminder, we're going to be using this part of the cafe. We don't need to go in the back because whatever. Or we need to use the back for base camp. You know what I mean? Be specific because it'll be like, I didn't know you were coming in this room. I didn't know you guys were going to park out there.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
There's all those things that young filmmakers don't look at. They just look at, oh, we got a place.
Right.
You know, and that's one of the issues
yeah.
I've had with some of with this project. Is the production company is in Sacramento. I don't mean to make this all about me. I'm trying to just use my work as an example so
Absolutely.
People learn. So they don't know what's here. So they're like, oh, we found a place that we could shoot at this surf museum. I'm like, great. Do they have parking? Do they have this? And they're like, oh, well, I'm assuming they. I'm like, no, motherfucker, do
no,
they
no,
have?
Do they have?
Assume
okay?
nothing.
How far is it for the truck to unload to get to there?
Right.
They're like... Oh, I'm like, you know what I mean? So there's like little things that I look for from experience.
Let me get back to you on it.
Yeah, so I'm only telling the kids these things so they realize don't just find a location you think works better aesthetically for your shoot. You also have to figure out does it work logistically for your shoot.
Absolutely.
You know?
You are preaching today.
You feel me?
I feel you
so
all the way.
I'm just saying that so that I mean, you probably learned this stuff you know since that last experience, but these are things that people don't think about. The next time,
Absolutely.
You know, so I'm only using my work that I do so that people understand what they need to do, you know. So anyway, so we were starting to talk. I smacked.
Oh, okay.
Let's talk about, for the kids, some of the difficulties about shooting season two.
Yes.
Oh, I know what I was going to tell you really quick.
Okay.
Because you have season one, mm-hmm. you have tape.
Absolutely.
You have a link to send people to see your work. So you're not just like in season one trying to make some shit. Now you have, look, we got 19,000 hits on episode one, whatever the fuck. You know what I mean? We got 30,000 hits. So they see people are watching your show.
Right.
So they know, oh, I want to work on her show because she gets numbers.
Right. Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
And that's important.
So now you have something to give them. Mm-hmm. You have a Facebook page. You have a Twitter. You have, you know, it's not just first season. So coming in the second season, you actually have more weight.
Absolutely.
So this is why I'm saying you should have more help. You know,
well,
I don't have time to call SAG. I need you to call SAG. You see what I mean? Stuff like that.
Can you talk about it?
Just saying.
I do. I need someone to do that stuff. Yeah, I mean, interestingly enough, season two, because I am now fundraising, I'm doing a crowdfunding campaign, Indiegogo.
Promote it, girl.
So I'm finding that. With that, that adds an extra element of stress to season two that I didn't have in season one. Because season one, I was like, basically, like, well, this is my money.
Well, you had your money already.
Right. It's like, you know, the budget is what it is because it's what I have. So I'm finding, like, going back to the wearing multiple hats, like, I'm the fundraiser. I'm the producer. I'm the writer. I'm the director. So there's all these things that have to all happen at the same time. And so, yeah, it is very important to reach out to get help. Sometimes what happens is some people that were helping in season one, for example, Karen is not producing on season two. She's she's still going to be my assistant director on set. But some people sort of move on to do other projects and things like that. So everyone that was necessarily available to help the first season is not necessarily available
for
to help
next season.
The second season. So that's a real reality of the situation. And in even beyond, you know, crew and people to help you with the actual logistics of it, all of the actors, you know, maybe I should give this plug right now.
One of
our actors, wonderful actress, is moving on to other projects. She's having a, you know, phenomenal career, and so we're wishing her very well, but she's not coming back for season two.
At all. She can't come on and make a spot or nothing, huh?
We're going to have an Aunt Viv moment in season two, because the character of Bryn, which is, you know, one of the leading ladies, is now being played by a beautiful, wonderful young actress named Amaris Davidson. So even, you know, sometimes you don't think about, sometimes you take for granted.
You didn't kill her off or anything like that, or you just decided to keep the same character and just replace her?
Same character. She's just replaced. So,
and no, there's no say about it. It just is what it
no,
is.
No, it's just, I mean,
look, if it worked for the Jeffersons, and that's my mama,
and
the Fresh Prince, why can it not work?
Yeah, true.
And it's worked in other shows.
True.
Absolutely. So, you know, so it's like, I think sometimes going into season two, you don't necessarily count on having to replace people, having to find new people. Like, my DP, who I loved for season one, is not available for season two. And so I'm kind of, you know, freaking out about that because I loved working with him and I think he did a great job on season one. And so now I'm like, all right, I have to find someone who's going to make, you know, the show look as good as season one. So there's that stress level. And so there's just a lot. And then thinking about the budget, now that it's not just my money, now that I'm actually reaching out to friends and family and just supporters and saying, hey, can you guys help me with this? I have to, you know, be even tighter with the budget because, you know, I'm raising for a certain goal, which we haven't met yet, which I'm praying that, you know, some more funds come in.
What's the date?
We extended our campaign to June 17th. Okay. So, with that, I feel like there was a lot of bartering and sort of like begging, borrowing, and stealing that happened with season one, but I feel like it's even more so now with season two. Like, I kind of feel like, what's the movie where Chris Rock is like, how much can I get for one rib?
That's
how I feel right now. Like, all right, so for this rate, like, can you stay for 6 hours? Can I get you for 8?
Can I just look at the rib?
Can I just smell it?
You know? So, you know, because, you know, I believe that, you know, in this town, there's a lot of super talented people who deserve to get paid for what they do, especially if they're good at what they do. And so it's challenging for me when I feel that constraint of I only have this much to offer you, you know, and I feel like I'm in that place of like, can you take this for this? I mean, I know you make $1,000 a day, but can I hit you off with this $150? You cool with that? You know, that's challenging.
I do it all the time. I do it all the time.
I mean, you have to. There's no way to get around it.
When I did Faux Show with Kim Coles and all them, the producer brought me on, the director brought me on to produce. And the first thing I said was, how much is your DP? And he said, $750 a day. And I said, give me the phone. And I got him down to $350 in about a minute or two. And I said, because I basically got on the phone and said, look, this is his directing debut. We have this person. This, and I listed all the stars who were going to be in it. That helped.
That definitely helps. Absolutely.
His husband helped to who he was. You know what I mean? We're going to be shooting in the studio. This, we're going to do three cameras. Boom. You know, I promoted it in a way so that this person would shine as the DP on this particular project. So that's why I said, I know this. You have your own truck. you know, the sound, you have all those things, you know, you have your whole little crew, your little team, got it. Here's what I have for you. I know what he offered you, but that is not what's in the real budget. You know, if you want us to get the sound stage and not shoot it at somebody's house, here's what we need to do.
Right.
Right. Right. Boom. And he was like, all right, I'll do it for $350. Okay. And then I hung up the phone.
And Scotch
went, and Scotch looked at me and he's like, oh, you are so the producer on this. So then I did that with every place we went to. So the location, they wanted us to do it for $3,000-$4,000 a day. It was a studio.
Wow.
And I got it for $1,000. And he let us come back on another day and shoot for 3 hours for nothing. Right? And that's awesome. Really about letting people know what you need. Dude, you know, we're trying to make this thing. We got this star. You show them what they're going to do. We're going to do this whole little scene where they walk through and we'll see the sign go by. You know, promote how you're giving back to them.
Absolutely. You know what I mean?
And it just always seems to work, and I get it way down. And I learned that from when I did Troublesome.
Mm-hmm.
And my train, he wanted $4,000 a day. And I looked at him. I said, I got $1,000 for 2 days. And he looked at me like, that's insulting. I said, let me explain something to you, though. And I went in. I was like, this is my first project. We just had the strike. Mm-hmm. I said, we just came out of a strike. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to do this. And I went down the list. And I was like, I need it on the weekend. You know,
right.
Saturday and Sunday. It's not going to kill you. Right. You know what I mean? Right. I was like, hook a brother up. You know what I mean? Boom, boom. And he looked at me and went, all right, let's make it work. You know what I mean? Sent this as an email, and I said,
with the bullet points, this is what we talked about.
I'm telling you, because if you don't, they don't remember.
Absolutely.
They do not. They're like, I said 1,000? Like, motherfucker, yes, you said 1,000.
Yes,
either that or you need to know where all the bodies are.
Okay, and confirm it. And confirm it.
And confirm.
Because if you don't, they're going to be like, I never got that
email. Like,
I would never say $1,000. You know what I mean?
Right.
No. Email, you did.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, get it in writing.
Here, you want to come on board the
I'm shooting next week too, girl.
Oh, okay. We both in the thing
now,
of it.
I'm
right
just
now.
Trying to encourage you and the other people listening of the power you don't realize you have because you actually have a season.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You have something to show. It's if you weren't trying to raise money for the crowdfunding,
mm-hmm.
it would be the reverse of how hard it is. Mm-hmm. You see what I mean? Because you had the money, so that wasn't the issue because you knew the budget was what it was.
Right.
So now all you had to do was staff.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Crew up. You know, all your people before. Now you have to do all those things and crew up. Mm-hmm. But even though you don't have the money, you use, but I have this. I have tape. I have you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I have this many followers. We have this many followers on Twitter. We have boom, boom. We're going to double that this season.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yes, we are.
Encourage
that.
Them.
Amen.
You know what I mean? We're going to do this. We're going to do that. You know, it just makes people go, ooh, I want to be involved in that.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, whatever your favorite episode is. You know, if you don't like one, show them two. You know what I mean? Whatever it is.
Right.
You know,
right.
That's what I skip over the one that I don't want them to see. I want you to see the best one.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
So anyway. So those are just some things I'm thinking. But so let's keep going.
Okay.
So what else do you have any issues with?
Can I tell my crazy season one story real quick?
Yes.
Okay. So it's I needed you in 2013, mm-hmm. that piece of advice about getting everything in writing, because people do forget, mm-hmm. and then you find out later on that people not only have amnesia, but they're also schizophrenic. So,
tell it, Bridget, tell it.
Protecting the identities of the people involved.
They know who they are.
Hopefully they don't listen to this. But there was one location, season one, where, you know, when we went to go scout the location, it was awesome. He was so nice, mm-hmm. and he said, "Oh, you can use this space and that space, and 12 hours, no problem for this rate, sure." And then, when we get there, I got there first thing in the morning, before anybody else, and I went to the front door, mm-hmm. and he comes to the door and he's like, "Didn't I tell you not to come to the front door? I will shut your whole production down. You have to go through the back." And I was like, "Oh, okay, sir. Like, it's cool. It's just me, Yeah. And so he literally, from that moment, threatened to shut us down, every hour.
What?
I was such on pins and needles that day because he, maybe I shouldn't tell this part of the underbelly of independent production, but
I think you need to tell him. You don't have to tell him who he is. The location, that's fine.
But the location was, a place where he didn't want to call attention to the fact that it was a location. Okay. So he didn't want any trucks or any camera being unloaded in the front, which I mm-hmm. said, okay, I understand mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. But when I showed up, it was just me. Mm-hmm. He acted like I came with the grip truck, mm-hmm. pulled up in front and everything. And so, then I'm panicking. I'm trying to, text all the crew, make sure that everyone knows, go to the back, because mm-hmm. if you come to the front, we're going to get shut down. And then, so we get everybody in, and then it's fine. And then we're shooting. I'm about maybe halfway through the page count of what I need for the day. Mm-hmm. And it was weird. There was an issue with lunch. Hmm. We ordered lunch, and it's not that we didn't offer him lunch. The lunch was there for everyone. Mm-hmm. And he comes and he says, something to the effect of, you guys didn't offer me lunch, and it was just really weird. And he was like, you guys have to be done by 2. And I was like, no, you said that we could be done at, 6 or 5 or whatever the time was mm-hmm. that we had originally agreed to. And he was literally like, no, I'm upset with your production and you guys have to get out.
Wow.
And I was moved to tears. Like, literally, I stepped outside. Karen was with me, mm-hmm. and I love Karen because Karen is so tough. She, mm-hmm. It was one of those moments where, mm-hmm. There's no crying in football or right. baseball. Mm-hmm. It was like right. that moment. It was like, there's no crying in production. And I was but he's going to shut us down and I'm not going to get my seat. I don't know what to do. And so, we took a breath. We thought about it. And then he started saying that he has to go somewhere. And it was like everything that we agreed to, he was going back on and reneging on everything. Mm-hmm. And then we said, okay, do we have more money in the budget? Can we offer him some more money? And I said, well, we have to do something because I need these scenes or else my entire show is ruined. Mm-hmm. Which in retrospect probably wouldn't have been the case, but that's how it feels.
Yeah, but once right. you start and at you establish time, you're in a freaking room.
Right.
Absolutely. You know what I mean? So it would have been a completely wasted day. I would have had to find another location and reshoot completely. So yeah. I was panicking. So long story short, we ended up giving him a few extra dollars to let mm-hmm. us, finish. But even with that, he was still kind of honest, we have to be out by this time. Mm-hmm. And, and so it was I learned a lot. So going back to what you were saying about making sure everything is in writing and mm-hmm. then people remember what they said and what they agreed to, because that was such a horrific situation. And it's not a position that anyone should ever be in.
Let me give you some more game. You just hit upon something that I usually do. Because I'm usually overseeing. When I'm just producing, I'm overseeing the set, mm-hmm. right? So I will literally go and find out who the manager is, the owner, whatever the hell, and I'll sit down with them and talk to them about the place and whatever. It's assuming I haven't had a chance to really meet them. Mm-hmm. And I'll say, we have craft down there. Go eat.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Anytime you want to get a meal, grab something. Right. If you're thirsty, boom, boom. You know what I mean? I'll send a PA, hey, dude, go grab them coffee. You know what I mean? Whatever it is to make them feel like they're right. okay
Absolutely.
With this.
Absolutely.
So whoever your producer is, make sure that they – so you don't have to worry.
Right.
Make sure that they know these war stories
Absolutely.
That you've experienced. So when you guys are shooting at any location, at somebody's house, somebody's whatever – that they go out and make sure that person is taken care of. Are we taking care of the place good? We'll make sure
Absolutely.
That we'll pick up all our waters. Boom, is it okay to set it on that? Make sure they have a communication. You shouldn't have to do that.
Right.
Right.
They should be doing that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And so make sure that producer is really, on their shit. And this is low budget stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You have to, you need to focus on directing. So let me focus on overseeing everything else so that you don't have to, all you have to do is focus on that. Don't even worry about this other production shit. I got you. You know, every time you huddle, we'll huddle. You know, we'll have a conversation. You know what I mean? We'll have a conversation. I'll be at the, you know, at the Video Village and all that shit. But, but there's other things going on that you don't even need to know about. There might be some drama that went on that I would never fucking tell you. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because I don't need you to be stressing about the fact that dude is tripping.
Right.
You know what I mean? Let me deal with him tripping. Let me figure it out. And if we have to shut down, then I'll come and tell you.
Okay.
You know, I don't come and tell you, well, you know, dude talking about shutting it down. No. That's for me to work out. You know what I mean?
Right.
So all you young producers, don't be going to the director telling them any bullshit. You figure it out. You work it out.
Okay.
Okay. That's what you're
Let
there
them
for.
Focus on what
you know how much money
doing.
Is in the budget. You know. So sometime I had to come out of my pocket. You know what I mean? And go, okay, I'm going to have to slip them another $100. You know what I mean?
Slide it under the table.
And I don't even tell you. I don't even tell you when we finally go over everything, how much everything costs. Because it needed to be done.
Right.
You see what I mean?
Right.
That's
right.
A good producer.
Right.
But yeah. I learned that shit from fucking 20 projects I've done so far. You know what I mean? Yeah. You just keep doing them. Like, okay, I need to be on top of that next time. Oh, absolutely. I need to be on comp. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And those are from mistakes. Like I said, shooting in a location, you come to find out you don't even have access to the entire place. I'm like, ah, I need to make sure that if somebody gets me in touch with somebody to shoot at their location and I haven't been there and seen it or anything, it's probably not going to work for me because I know what I'm looking for.
Absolutely.
All those logistic things that I don't just accept it because they said yes.
Absolutely.
You know, that's and sometimes so it important. Happens. You're so desperate. You know, it's we're shooting tomorrow. We just need a house. Any house? What's the parking lot?
Right.
You know what I mean? Can you park on that street that day? Is it, you know what I mean? Is the trucks moving outside? I'm like, do you have to just, there's so many logistics. I mean, I work like a line producer and a production supervisor most of the time. You know, because I have to, because we're doing, you know, $50,000 project. They're not like huge. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
I could use $50,000 right now. Well, that's huge to me.
You know what I mean? I mean, but I mean, some new shit I'm about to do with We in the Million. But
oh, all right.
So like, then the people will be doing that.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I'm glad I learned how to do all these things now. Because I tell people all the time, I feel like I could run a show.
Absolutely.
Based on the information, based on the knowledge and stuff that I've learned. Doing all these small projects, they're all different. You know, that thing I did with Scotch and Kim and him, we had a freaking audience. I never worked with an audience before. Now I know how to deal with an audience.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. 30 people in a fucking audience.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Plus our 30-person crew. I mean, there's... Anyway.
Stories.
Anyway, I only use these stories not to tell you about how good I am. I use them to try to help you to see that something that I learned.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
To avoid the pitfalls.
Correct.
You know?
Absolutely.
And just the stress. Ugh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's always a learning process. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure there are going to be things that I'm going to learn on season 2 that I didn't experience or learn on season 1. So it's always, it's a constant, it's a process of growth.
Here's another little secret that I do. And you, I hope you do this already. I do this for my main characters who are my cast. So your 4 girls, maybe your guest star or whatever, your DP, and the director. Well, you are the director.
I am every woman.
But I call each and every one of them, usually about a week before because I want time to process it. And I say, is there anything you need on the set that's going to make you happy? And when we're in crunch.
Oh, that's good.
Because remember, I used to be an actor. So I remember when I was working on somebody small, whatever, I'd be like, if I just had a coffee or a hot chocolate from Coffee Bean and some Red Vines, I would be good, even under all this stress. And it made me figure it out. Because if you think about it, you hear about all the stars have these writers and they're this long and they don't want this M&M or whatever.
Right.
That started from that, right? But it expanded because the budget's bigger.
Right.
If you think about it, right?
Right.
So I try to make them feel the same way. So I'm giving you something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if it's a Big Mac. I don't care what it is. I'm going to make sure you get it. My DP gets it because I want him to be cool.
Yeah.
My cast, my main cast gets it, and the director gets it. You know what I mean? And I give that to them, and they show up, and all of a sudden, you know, boom, you about to start. If I was producing and I knew that I knew you wanted a coffee bean, hot chocolate, first thing in the morning, you'd see me, I'd hand you one, right? Or I'd have my assistant or somebody hand you one. Because you'd be like, oh, you just can't help it. Mm-hmm. It immediately relaxes you, right? Mm-hmm. The other thing I do is logistically you start thinking about, okay, we're in a very small room, but I have four actors in this scene. I don't want them to just be standing around, so I need to go rent some fold-out chairs. You know, whatever it is you need to do. I have a guy I can hook you up with who has the director's chair. You get them for like $3 or $4 a day. You know what I mean? They're cheap. You know, you could get the freaking tables and stuff and everything, you know, mm-hmm. with all the chairs around it, the whole deal for cheap.
Cheap is the key word.
Cheap here. Is very, very good. So he could give you the whole makeup thing and the monitors. I mean, there's all kind of things. Anyway, so there's things you can do to make them feel like they were taken care of.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? That people, I show up on people's sets and I'm like, why is the actors just all standing there? They don't even have chairs in here. They don't, you know what I mean? You didn't even protect them with the sun. The elements are just coming down on them like nothing. Right. And so I go out of my way to make them feel like they're on a real set no matter what we have to do to make that work. You know what I mean? If I have to go next door and use their bathroom, we're using that bathroom. You know what I mean? Whatever it is you have to do so they feel like, well, we don't even know. You got to go to Starbucks if we don't have one. You know what I mean? No, fuck that. Right. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's a business upstairs. I'm going to see if they're open on Sunday. You know what I mean? Right. That's the type of logistics.
Absolutely.
That producers, absolutely. I know I'm talking a lot here.
No. It's just no, that this ahead. Is, the, no, these are the little tidbits that people don't think about until it hits them. They're like, oh shit.
Yeah.
You know? Right.
Yeah. And this is all low budget shit. But the funny thing is, even on a big budget, like they're doing, I don't know if you guys saw the sign outside of my office here. They're doing episodes that Matt LeBlanc show mm-hmm. on
Yes, I noticed
Showtime.
That as I was,
Showtime.
I think so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're here. So I'm sitting here next to transportation and the line producers across the hall. So I hear their conversations. I'm like, see, I'm right on my shit.
That's
you know
right.
what I mean?
That's,
then
right.
that's big budget. And they
right.
got fucking 10 people in there.
Right.
You know what
absolutely.
I mean? This is just me sometime and two or three other like people working shit out. So I know that I'm already preparing myself for the big shit.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So be
absolutely.
Preparing yourself now.
Absolutely.
So that people feel comfortable about being in your shows now and they want to continue to work with you.
And that's full of confidence too, because even when the shit goes down, if you're confident you're handling these things, if people are like, hey, what's going on? That confidence, like, okay,
yeah.
shit's going down, but we've got it taken care of. Don't worry, we got this. And they feel comfortable and you can get through it. But God bless you for like web series and trying to like grapple all those different jobs. I can't even imagine trying to direct, produce, and worrying about, oh, who's doing the locations.
It's hard.
It's very hard. But I love what you just said, mm-hmm. Hilliard, about preparing yourself for the bigger stuff, because that's exactly what this process
does. Exactly what it's doing.
Mm-hmm. Because
it doesn't feel like it at the time.
Not at all.
Yeah.
But you literally, especially, you know, in the case of independent production where you're wearing multiple hats, you're literally getting experience in all of those different areas.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get to the next level, you even if you're not the one doing it now, at least you have enough knowledge of what it is so you can supervise and direct the people
right.
that
right.
aren't doing it. So it's invaluable.
You have to keep a clear head as much as you can, even under all the stress. And you're the director and you're the EP. So everybody's coming, and you're the creator of the show. So everybody's coming to you going, Bridget, what do you think about wardrobe? What do you think about this? How do you want me to do the lighting? How do you want?
Absolutely.
And you have to go take a breath and go one at a time. What did you say? Let me. I'll answer your question. You know what I mean. Instead,
yes.
you go this that, and you gotta be
right. You gotta
I got
be, you.
You
gotta be centered.
Right. I got you. You have to. You know, whatever you have to do to prepare yourself to shoot, to be as relaxed as possible, you know the script because you fucking wrote it.
Right.
So sometimes you know you've been in a room, you plan to shoot it one way, you get there, you go, oh, this ain't gonna work. You know what I mean?
That
be prepared for the change.
Exactly.
Because sometimes you lock
those
in how you...
Especially like just the subtle things, like, you know, if you're filming a restaurant stuff, like different shots. What time of the day is the sun coming
Hello?
In?
Absolutely.
It looks totally different. Are we going to match this shot? It's like the things, the tiny things that you don't think about, you know, just it just reminded me when you said, go look at the place. Go look at it certain times of the day. Like, you talking about doing that scene right
yep.
there, but what if the sun's coming in there? How's that yep. lighting going to work? And a lot of people just think, we got the location.
Yep.
Let's just show up.
Right. That's only half the battle.
Yes.
Then you got to worry about the conditions
yep.
of the location.
Is it clean?
Well.
You know what I mean? Is it
yes.
organized? I mean, you have to prepare for that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Setting up, and then breaking it all down and striking out. I mean, that shit takes time. And people are like, oh, well, you guys, we only need it for 2 hours. Like, we need an hour just to set up.
Absolutely.
Just to load in.
You better preach.
You know what I mean? And that's with a 30-person crew for the most part. I don't know how many people. Let's assume you have 10 to 15.
Right.
That still is not a lot of people.
It's not.
You know?
It's not.
And that's why you
not.
See these crews here on the studio I'm at. They fucking load in so fast. They load in so – I mean, it's a freaking machine. You know, but they've been working with each other forever. They know where everything is, and they have everything they need.
Absolutely.
You trying to figure it out.
Right.
You trying to make that crane shot work with a freaking camera.
Right.
Without the crane.
Right. Right.
Just stand on his chair.
On the ladder.
Okay, get on
just
the
do it slow. Steady.
Okay.
Trying you to know? Do that get in, with the wheelchair.
Get gas. Like, exactly. Get in the grocery cart. Exactly. I will roll you.
Right.
Get on the skateboard. Yeah. We're going to make it work.
Okay. Right. My grandmother got a wheelchair. I think that'll work.
Look. Exactly. If I push you real slow, okay, we'll get the shot.
Dolly. Dolly.
That's a dolly shot. Oh, my God.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Bridget. We appreciate having you.
Thank you for having me.
I really hope you're able to raise your money.
Yes.
Let's tell the kids again where they can go to help donate and like your Twitter and whatever, your Facebook.
Okay, so we currently have Indiegogo running. So it's Indiegogo.com. If you search for The Value of X Season 2.
Mm-hmm. That's EX.
EX.
EX, okay.
And we're on Twitter, at The Value of X, Facebook, The Value of X, YouTube, The Value of X. We're The Value of X everywhere.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And if you would like to follow my personal Twitter, I'm at The Drama Diva.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Good. So. That's what's up. Where are you at, Lisa?
I am a Twitter fiend. And you can find me on Twitter. You can find me on BitchFlix. And you can catch me. Well, now that it's summer, usually I would come up and go do like the Hollywood Forever, the movies. And
you're not going to do it?
Because now they do it where you got to get tickets and stuff. It's gotten too big.
Wait, was it free before or something?
No, you still pay.
Mm-hmm.
It was like $10 or something like that. But now you got to buy tickets ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
It's gotten too big now. So I used to be up in the cemetery watching movies on the side of the wall. And they're going to be showing Goodfellas pretty soon.
Oh. Interesting.
So, so you'll probably find me on Venice Beach because I'm working on doing a couple TV pilots. And I'm rewriting my book that I wrote last summer that takes place at Venice Beach. So more than likely you'll find me around Venice Beach, beach bumming it.
Mm-hmm. Looking that was a good pilot. I want you to get that one going.
So it's like, you know, it's just got to get some more stuff. I'm, like I said, working on the horror screenplay and I'm just looking for some really good horror material. So just excited about it. So Twitter, BitchFlix, and at your nearest beach.
And I'm your host, Hilliard Guest. You guys can follow me on Twitter at Hilliard Guest. You guys can follow the show, Screenwriters RR, on Twitter. If you guys have any questions, screenwritersrantroom@gmail.com. Please follow us. We appreciate it. What? What'd you guys say?
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I just realized that I forgot to mention that we have an Instagram as well.
Oh, no, good.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been here on Twitter. I'm following it on Twitter, The Value of X on Twitter.
Awesome. So we're at The Value of X on Instagram as well.
Okay,
so.
Cool. If you guys have any questions, screenwritersrantroom@gmail.com. Please go on iTunes. Give us a 5-star review. We really need that for the matrix. Follow us also on Facebook, Hilliard Guesses, Screenwriters Rant Room. Follow us. You know what's up. And shit like that. So you guys know how we do it on the Rant Room. On this show, we keep it real.
I'm looking at The Value of X on Twitter. I'm looking at the cast. Oh,
no. Isn't my cast really attractive? I love my cast. They're beautiful.
Black folks. Nice faces.
Oh, yes.
So on this show, we keep it real. We keep it opinionated. We keep it what, everybody?
2016.
Peace, y'all.
Ciao.
Stars can be paid. There gotta be a dope ass story on the page. Let the beast about the cage, that light about the dark. Can you build the inferno from an itty bitty spark? Coffee shop hustlers rise with the cream. A million other writers, same Hollywood dream. Your pen and paper all like bullets in the gun. Write what you feel, say what you want. In the red room, we say what we want.
guys are grown. Let's go ahead and get in. Mm-hmm.